We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. You can email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And I'm John Ryan.
Yeah, John Ryan's in studio. He's our big digital camera expert, and we have the Big Digital Camera Show. Feel free to – I shouldn't have said it that way, should I have, John? John is in studio, and so if you've got digital camera questions, if you're looking to improve your digital camera skills, if you have a thought as far as what you want to do for digital photography for the holidays or even what to buy, John is our resident expert. And we'll be happy to help you with those things. So feel free to get online. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. So get out. We're going to try to take the digital camera calls first. Right now, lines are all wide open, obviously. So feel free to get on if you want to talk about that. In some quick news before we get to digital photography, because I do have some things to ask John. You might have heard this. This is, I'm not the biggest Apple fan. And the reason I'm not is primarily due to the cost. And everyone says, yeah, but Eric, they're so smart. You know, the Apple people, they never make a mistake. You know, their systems are so secure and they're just the best, right? So if you downloaded the latest version of Apple Sierra, version 10, macOS High Sierra, I should say, they had one of the most ridiculous security flaws ever, period. You can get to, if you have High Sierra now and you haven't updated the latest patch that they finally sent out, you could get to the root level of your Mac, anybody can, by the way, by simply logging in as root with a password of blank.
Oh my God.
Oh my God is right. This is Apple. Again, the reason I talk about Apple the way I do is they're the same geeks as any other geeks. For you to think that because you pay three times what I do for a computer that you're a smarter geek than me, I just don't believe it. And if this isn't a good enough example for you, I don't know what is. A username of root and a password of blank gives you admin level credentials to that box. That's scary.
How do you spell blank?
Yeah, that's right. Good point. So the password was no password. It's just root. And hit enter. Good point. You get all the Apple guys out there saying, what? A password, a B-L-A-N-K. No password. It's unforgivable. Yeesh.
Easy for you to
say. Yeah, my goodness. They have fixed it. But just again, guys, just because you have an Apple, you're not impervious. Please believe me on that. Back up your stuff. Use passwords, secure your data, and expect to fail. It will. It's a computer. So,
software is written by human beings, and
right,
human beings are fallible.
Yes, they sure are. So I had to bring that up, and I'll put a link up to the article for you to review. We've had Whip City Fiber on, right? Those are the municipal guys up there in Westfield, Mass., who are going to offer you 1,000 megabits of speed for $69. This is municipal fiber. East Hartford is looking at doing a similar thing. Now, wow. Tab is located in East Hartford, so I'm drooling. They're working with a company called Sci-Fi. This is a New Jersey company. Now, they're, of course, battling the incumbents, Comcast, Frontier, Cox, because, those guys are going to not like a municipality coming in and offering.
Competition.
You already know my feeling on whether or not the municipality will be successful at this type of stuff. But in this case, Sci-Fi is the company that is actually working to put the fiber in, and the taxpayers will not be a backstop to it, period. So there's no risk to the taxpayer. This is an interesting approach which makes me feel very good about it. It's a public-private kind of connection there, because the town is going to be the first customer. And, of course, those big incumbent broadband companies are all upset. But there's one other player that I didn't think of that would be so upset. Frontier's Union, who puts the lines up on the poles, is upset. They're one of the guys who are pushing against this. And, you know, I know you guys gave us the weekend and you gave us Labor Day, but give us some internet cost effectiveness, too. Don't protect these big incumbent monsters from allowing the rest of us to have less expensive internet.
Well, I'm vice chairman of planning and zoning in East Hartford.
Ah. Have you heard about this?
Oh, yeah. We talked about it in our last meeting. Nice. They're actually going to be trenching at ground level.
Yep. And that avoids the problem with the Frontier Union, because nobody's fighting over poles.
But I also believe that they're not going to do it unless they get a certain commitment.
I'll be in. I'm in.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Where can I write my check?
The minimum commitment was like one person per area of East Hartford is all they needed. This is an utter no-brainer. If you live in East Hartford or your business in East Hartford, call who? Is it the Economic Development Office?
Planning Office.
Yeah. Tell them you're interested, because are you kidding me? Let's go.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. And again, I've never been really for municipal getting involved in this kind of stuff, because I figure they're going to probably screw it up. But even if they screw it up halfway, you still get 500 megabits for $69. Mm-hmm. Bucks. I was joking with the Whip City guys. They're doing a great job. If East Hartford does a great job, that's awesome. If Sci-Fi comes in and does this, and let's embrace competition. You know, if your cheese gets – everyone's cheese gets moved. You know what? Learn how to dig fiber trenches rather than fight about putting it on a pole. The pole idea is a pretty bad one. Ask Puerto Rico. You know, hopefully they're putting in fiber trenches rather than putting up more poles. Because guess what? You know, it just doesn't seem to work that well. So I'm excited about that, if you can't tell. Hopefully it works out.
Yeah, it's going to go in on the green belt, you know, the grass in front that you have to cut that doesn't belong to you.
Okay.
Right between the sidewalk and the street. It's going to go right in there.
Nice. And it's called micro trenching. They didn't even do a big deal. It's like not even a very deep hole. It's not even a very big pipe that they're putting in.
No.
And this is tremendous. I hope it works out, and I hope more folks do it. Less barriers to competition, you know, is what we need here, and we'll get less expensive internet. Bob, you had one quick thing you wanted to bring up, too.
Yeah. We all know how much you like Apple. So every iPhone...
They're just expensive.
Every iPhone 10 is not created equal.
This surprises
study
me.
Study says it. Yeah.
This I didn't
is
know
a study
that.
By PC Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Lab testing by Cellular Insights.
Yeah.
Okay. The study compared performance on LTE band 4, which is used by most U.S. phone carriers, and showed that when signals were weak, less than minus 85 dBm, the Qualcomm modem consistently achieved faster speeds. Both models stopped working completely around the same signal strength,
right.
Minus 129 dBm, but Qualcomm was faster throughout the testing.
So if you guys didn't know this, you could have a Qualcomm modem or an Intel modem in your Apple 10, whatever they call it. Is it an X or a 10? I don't know.
Well, they say iPhone, there's an X here, but it's 10.
Okay.
Okay. iPhone 10 may vary depending on which model you have. Both are sold in the U.S. This information comes shortly after Qualcomm's legal filing to try to ban sales of Intel-based iPhone 10 models in the U.S.
Interesting.
Apple began using both Qualcomm and Intel modems beginning with the iPhone 7.
Right.
And Cellular Insights found Qualcomm models performed better by about the same margin then as well.
So interesting. So even within an Apple device, there's a fight between the technology inside. And it might be a little thinner, a little lighter, a little faster, but there's two flavors. So your phone could be faster than next guy's. So that could cause a whole new rip between Apple users if they, hey, I got a Qualcomm and you don't. They may have even put a queue on their phone so that they can designate it.
Get the Qualcomm while you still can, because the iPhone 4, 5, and 6 all had Qualcomm modems.
Yeah.
And despite these positive results with Qualcomm hardware, Apple's relationship with the tech giant has been volatile lately after a slew of legal action.
Wow.
So
interesting.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Their future together seems uncertain.
So even Qualcomm has the same feelings I do. So before we go to a break, let's talk a little bit with John and digital cameras. So what's out there in digital cameras that's kind of cool and new, John, you want to bring up?
Something that it's been on the horizon for years. Mm-hmm. It's been termed as vaporware for the longest time.
Yep.
A little cartridge that goes into your old 35-millimeter film cameras and turns them into a digital camera.
Wow.
Everybody said they had them. You'd read about them in the trade papers, and they never materialized. Well, mm-hmm. Yashica,
okay,
an old Japanese camera company, has something called the Y35 Digifilm cartridge, and it's a working prototype.
Yep.
And they've raised $1.25 million in crowdfunding to bring this to fruition.
Neat.
It looks great. I mean, you know, all these cameras that are sitting in closets that you haven't been using for years, hopefully you're going to be able to use them again.
They'd have a new life.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just phenomenal. I love my old stuff. I think it's more durable than the newer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're built like tanks.
Yeah.
But and this is going to give me a chance to break them out of the closet again. So right. That's something you should keep an eye on. I'm hoping. Yashica's been around for a long time. They've been really smart with the way they did things. They partnered with Contax years ago to use Zeiss lenses on their cameras.
Mm-hmm.
They made a great medium format entry level camera. Those of you who shot it, the 124G. You'll remember it, built like a tank. Probably 90% of the photo students used it up until they could afford to buy a better medium format camera.
Yeah,
just a really good company, in my opinion. They're coming back. They've got something. So
let's see if we can get this to come to fruition. A lot of cameras out there.
They're crowdsourcing on Indiegogo.
All right.
So
we'll put a link.
Yeah, check it out. I put my money into it already.
All right. Sounds good. So John's going to be here all show. If you've got a digital camera question, any kind of thoughts, he'll be giving more advice on what's out there as far as what you should look for this holiday season. We're going to step out for a quick break. We got three lines wide open. Feel free to get online. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. It's the Big Digital Camera Show. John Ryan's in studio, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Get online. A couple lines open for you if you want to talk about digital cameras, digital photography, how to get your photos back if you lost them, which I'm going to talk about myself. Maybe I didn't lose these photos on this one card. Let's go to your calls first, though. We're going to go to Anna in Marlboro first. Hey, Anna, what's up?
Have a question. I'm looking for a digital camera. I have an old one at school, and I'm a music teacher, and mm-hmm. I videotape the kids when they're singing their chorus concert, and I, you know, videotape the band and orchestra.
Nice.
And I just would like a little bit, maybe better quality, or maybe I'm just doing something wrong, and I just didn't know if there was like an easy point and click, either taking pictures or taking a video, kind of a camera that, you know, is not too expensive because it's for school. So.
Mm-hmm. You can get a lot with these inexpensive cameras these days.
Yeah. Hi, Anna. How you doing?
I am fine.
What camera do you have now?
Oh, gosh. You know, it's at school, and I don't know. It's just this little one. It's got to be at least, like, 7 years old.
Oh, yeah. Time to get something new.
Yeah. I knew I was due, and but I'm just trying to figure out how to do it and not spend a lot of money.
Well, Canon, Olympus, Nikon, all have great offerings.
Are you thinking the ruggedized ones? Like
the little ruggedized ones. They're water resistant.
Yeah.
If they fall on the floor, they bounce, and you pick them up and keep shooting with them. Fuji.
That might be really good, yeah.
Olympus and Fuji both have ruggedized cameras. They're about 18 megapixels, so they're going to be really good.
Yeah.
Okay.
They will do 4K video.
You're probably not going to need
4K, so you'll get 1080p, which would be more than adequate.
Yeah.
You're looking at about $399 to about $699, just depending upon which one you like better.
Okay.
And if you've got band backers like we do in Southington, they'll buy it for you. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't. Well, I mean, the high school does, but I'm in elementary, so.
Ask them.
But I do have a wonderful PTO.
Yeah.
So
ask the high school guys.
Maybe we could do something. Yeah, I'll check with them. I always check with them anyway.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
But,
okay, that just gives me, because I thought – I just wasn't sure, and I said before, you know, we start figuring out money and stuff like that, I thought maybe if I get a bigger memory, you know, chip in it, maybe that'll help. But
it's 7 years old, probably not really.
Yeah, I think the quality is just not too great anymore. Like, the kids are fuzzy, and it's hard for them. You know, when we go to look at the picture, we look at it on a smart board, you know. So here, this little camera, and then all of a sudden it's on this huge smart board. And, you know, they look fuzzy. And I said, no, I want them to see what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong so we can get better for the next concert kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, that's cool.
So.
Yeah, I think that would be great.
That gets me in the right track, though.
Well, one of the ones you should take a look at, and I've actually got some paperwork on it with me, Olympus has a new one. It's called the Tough TG5. Great lens. It does all kinds of stuff. Like I said, it does the 4K, but you don't need that.
Right.
And it's designed to get kicked around. It's an action camera. So if it falls off the counter, if the kids kick it, if somebody spills something on it, it's going to keep working.
Oh, okay.
But
all right. That sounds great.
Your best bet is to go pick them up, get them in your hand, look at them and go, oh, I really like this one. That's the one to get.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Anna.
Great. Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. All right. That's a good stuff. The Olympus here, TG5, is not that expensive, right? I'm trying to see here. B&H has got it. I'm going to put a link up here for you if I can find it. But it wasn't too bad. All right, let's go on to Len in Plainville next. Hey, Len.
How are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
Actually, I'm in Wigville.
You're in whatville?
Wigville.
It's like close to Burlington, between Burlington
it's
Bristol.
Yeah, right at the Bristol-Burlington line.
All right, cool.
And I'm looking for a camera. I have a Nikon. I think it's a Coolpix. It was a 150. And the problem I'm having with it, it has an internal battery charger. It doesn't seem to be working anymore. I buy brand new batteries. I put them in, and then I use them maybe 25, 30 pictures, and the battery says exhausted.
Oh boy.
And so I'm just worried. Is it worth just getting rid of the camera or buy like an external battery charger?
Is there one?
I personally, if it was me, I would buy an external battery charger first. You can get them at Best Buy relatively inexpensively and see if the charging circuit in your camera is not good. I never trust charging anything in the camera. Always take my batteries out and charge them separately.
Yeah, that was the problem. Then there's another camera that's out. I was in the Islands last year. I borrowed a camera. It was another Nikon. It was similar to that Coolpix, and it was a waterproof camera. Do you know anything about those? It's a similar size.
Oh, that's the P6000, I think?
Yeah, something like that. It has it's all waterproof. It's good for 100 feet down.
Hmm.
Those things are nice. I would be leery about that because there's all kinds of seals that you have to maintain. Back in the day of film, water was a big problem with waterproof cameras. It's best to get a housing to put them in.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the housing's not a big deal. I mean, even what are those GoPros? They were pretty much waterproof by their housing. That's how they kind of did it.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So, all right, we got to take a quick break. Do you want to stick around, Len, or is that good enough to start?
I'm all set. You answered all my questions I need.
All right. Good luck, sir.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Bye-bye. Thank you for calling. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Big digital camera show. We'll post everything that we're talking about today on computertalkwithtab.com. Mike G. posts it live for us. We'll be right back.
The weather outside is almost frightful.
And we are back. Mysterious, ominous music from Matt this morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, and we're taking your big digital camera questions. So feel free to get online, and we will do our best to help you out with those questions. John Ryan is in the studio, and we're lucky enough to have him every quarter or so come in and talk about digital cameras and what's going on. Let's go to your calls first. Let's go to we're going to go to Ellen in Bolton next. Morning, Ellen.
Good morning.
What's up?
I'm so excited. I tuned in. I haven't listened to you guys in a while, although normally I do. And you're doing digital cameras, and it's exactly what I need to know.
Nice. Perfect.
I have an old Nikon F film camera from the 70s, and I have a lot of lenses that go with it, and I'm wondering if there's any digital camera out there that would fit those lenses.
Oh, have I got good news for you. Any Nikon digital camera will take those lenses. Nikon is the only manufacturer that has not changed their lens mount since 1959.
Yay!
Now, bear in mind, they're not going to be autofocus.
Right.
They're not. Some may work on programs, some may not. But the manual metering function, and if you've got an F, you know how to manually meter.
Yep.
Will work.
Awesome.
That is awesome.
Absolutely. And if you really want to have a good time, Nikon just came out with the D850. It'll only set you back $3,300.
Mm.
And it'll give you a 45.7 megapixel file, which is 100 megabytes right out of the camera.
Wow.
Yikes.
But it will actually work with those old lenses. You'll actually be able to get program. You'll be able to get aperture priority, shutter priority. But it's a pro-level camera. And it's going to cost a lot more.
But yeah, any Nikon will
do. Out of my budget. Right.
Yeah. Any of the Nikon cameras will work.
Nice.
You'll just be limited on some of the functionality, but you'll be able to use the glass.
That's amazing. I was so excited to hear you talking about this new Digifilm cartridge that Yashica is trying to develop, because I would dearly love to be able to use my old Nikon F.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I don't doubt that. I have two Nikon Fs I would love to use occasionally. I take them out every now and then, look at them, fire off the shutter, and go, wow, this is great, and then put them back in the box.
So we'll see what Yashica does.
That's very helpful.
All right, Alan. Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. So good news for Nikon owners. That's great for Nikon. Nikon is smart enough to not force that obsolescence and make you buy new glass.
Well,
I mean, they're completely contrary to Apple.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned,
yeah. The only thing they have done is they used to have the focusing motor in the camera body.
Yeah.
Now they've gone and followed Canon's lead and put the focusing motor in the lens, so it takes the strain off the body, keeps the battery life a little better.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I mean, I use my old Nikon lenses on my newer cameras all the time because I just like the lenses better.
Well, yeah, you already paid for them.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. And the glass is just—it feels nicer. I mean, the files look different than the newer glass. I mean, it's subjective.
Yeah, right. Right.
But it's just a personal preference, but she'll still be able to use them.
Good news. Let's go on to Bill in Windsor next. Morning, Bill.
Morning. How are you today?
Doing fine. How are you?
Good. Good, thanks. I have a couple of questions regarding digital cameras and this new technology that you just mentioned. First of all, how soon is that vaporware or that technology anticipated to hit the market?
Well, I figure I've got about 8 years left before I retire, somewhere in that time period. I think they don't really say, oh, it's going to be for sale in the next fiscal year or anything like that. It's just they've got a working prototype. They're looking for funding to start manufacturing it. It's come out a couple times in the last 10 years. People have come up with these ideas, and they've just never gone anywhere. But Yashica seems to be the only one who's come up with any kind of working prototype.
Okay. So now how would this work with the batteries on this camera? For example, I have a couple of Minoltas, an SRT-202 and an XE7. The XE7 is not an issue. That uses an S76 battery, which is readily available. But the SRT-202 used a Mercury battery, a PX625, which that became an issue even when you could still use it with film, because you had to try to find some substitute to the now defunct Mercury battery, which you couldn't obtain.
Yeah, but you can go on eBay and get adapters that you can put the MS76 batteries, the A76 batteries, those little hearing aid batteries on steroids into the adapter, and it would allow you to use that adapter as a battery source for your camera.
Oh.
But the Yashica, the Y35, the picture they have on their Indiegogo profile is one of their old, old rangefinders. I mean, we're talking a rangefinder from the 60s that had probably a P625 or something like that. But that's the camera they used to show
the technology
at work. And, you know, and they made a big point about that, I think, to get them to get people to realize that, hey, oh, you've got all these great cameras you've used. Well, now you'll be able to continue using them. Like the old Leicas, I'm sure you've heard of those. They didn't have batteries at all, you know, so you'll still be able to use those.
Okay.
My little Canon Q119 takes a weird battery. I'll be able to use that because I'll be the first one in line. This thing comes out, I'll be buying one.
I'll be pretty close to you in line.
Oh, yeah.
Next question I have, too, is a few weeks ago when you were on the show, you talked about, I believe it was a Sony camera that would work with Minolta lenses, the rotor lenses.
Yeah, that's true. Any Sony digital camera that takes interchangeable lenses will work with Minolta lenses, but it has to be the Minolta autofocus lenses, the old Rokor lenses,
okay,
the SR lenses.
Okay, it's not going to be the Rotorax. It's going to have to be the Rotorax, the NC grade one that they came out with in their later years.
Right, yeah, when they came out with the autofocus glass. That's the stuff that Sony bought. They didn't buy the old mounts.
Okay, so the Rotorax. They originally had a Rotor, then they had a Rotorax, then they came out with a Rotor. MC coupled with MC for meter coupled. That'd have to be the lens that would work with it. The intermediary stage, the Rotorets would not work with these new Sony bodies. Right?
No. It has to be the autofocus.
Okay.
The autofocus Minolta lenses. The 3000i, the 7000, the 9000 camera series. The lenses that worked on those cameras.
Okay.
Not the SR cameras. That's just beyond what they wanted to get involved with.
Yeah, that's not going to work. So I'll have to wait for this vaporware to come out.
Yeah.
Now, is that going to work with multiple camera companies, for example, Minolta, Pentax, Nikon, or is it going to just be one camera?
Well, from their description, it's shaped like a 35-millimeter cartridge with a little plate that goes over the pressure plate of your camera. So it'll work in any camera that takes a 35-millimeter cartridge.
Yeah, that makes the market nice and huge.
So you can, if you've got a Minolta, you can shoot in your Minolta, take it out, put it in your Pentax, shoot in your Pentax, take it out, put it in your Nikon, in your Canon Fs, whatever. You can keep shooting.
Wow.
That's really pretty terrific.
If it comes out. Yes, it'll be amazing.
I was waiting for somebody to do something like this because there's thousands or millions of SLR cameras out there that are, as you said, just sitting in somebody's closet.
Yep.
Somebody had to come up with something to make them usable again.
Absolutely. Well, on the pro level, the cameras that take the interchangeable film backs, there are digital backs that will clip right onto your Hasselblad, your Mamiyas, your Fujis, any of those cameras. So the technology exists. It's just making it work in a 35-millimeter format.
And if you really believe that strongly in it, you can join the crowdfunding folks. DP Review's got the article. We'll put a link at Computer Talk. And if you really think it's a good idea, you can throw a few bucks at it. The more folks that do, if you think it's a good idea, you might find it come to fruition. Right?
Is there a link you can put up on your website?
Oh, yeah. It's already going to be up there in a matter of minutes.
Okay, terrific.
All right.
Okay, thanks very much for your time today. Happy holidays.
You
Same
too,
to
Bill.
You.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock, guys. Four lines open for you. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, the big digital camera show. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're here till 11 o'clock taking your digital camera questions with John Ryan in studio. And we're waiting for your calls. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. So while we're waiting for you guys, I'll ask my question. So I was hoping that when John came in, he might be able to give me some good advice. So my wife was working on getting some little digital little SD cards ready for a photo shoot, and which is rare because she almost never does this. But she sat down at the desk and started popping them into the camera and formatting them, getting them ready for the next shoot, assuming all the pictures had been, you know, downloaded onto the computer. And she did one that I hadn't moved down yet. And I was hoping, you know what, I'll leave this right here. And then when John comes on, I'll ask the question. So, John, she formatted the card in the camera. Did I lose all my pictures?
No.
Yay!
No.
Awesome.
When you format the camera... What the camera does, or when you format the card, what the camera does is writes a little text file that it puts on the card and says, hey, you can start taking pictures again on me.
Right. Okay.
The pictures you've taken to that point are still there.
I love it.
The camera, the card manufacturers have software that you can download. Most of them are free. Some of them you pay a pittance for, but you download it. You plug your card into the computer. You open up the software. It finds the card. And what it does is it goes through and reads the card, removes the text file, and creates a little folder with all the pictures. Now, it may rename them, but the pictures are still there. You just have to go through and get them. There's also a really good software package, one I use, and actually makes a fair amount of money for me for people who have formatted their cards. It's called Photo Rescue. Dutch company. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful software. It's got five different ways that it'll go through. If it can't find anything, it automatically switches to another algorithm and goes through. If it can't find anything, it goes through and finds another one. And it keeps going until it finds your pictures. Now, bear in mind, it's going to find every picture that's available on that card. You may find pictures that you took 4 years ago. But it's going to find them because they're there. They just haven't been overwritten yet. So it's going to find whatever's there. And
so
you're good.
Is the Photo Rescue, I'm looking here, there's a couple of websites here. Do you know which one is the right? Do you know the manufacturer?
It's photorescue.nl, I think, is the website.
We'll find it.
It's the little avatar for the software is like a Easter Island head.
Oh, that's good. All right, so we'll make sure that that's the right one and get it up there for you guys. So good news, if you formatted your card, you can get the pictures back.
Yeah, and also, one thing to do is never download the card from the pictures from the camera. Take the card out. Use a card reader. Download them that way.
Probably the same thing for smartphones too, right?
If there's a card in your smartphone that you can take out and do it, Apple phone does not allow me to do that because I don't have a card in there.
Oh, yes, that's right.
But then again, I mean, you plug it into the computer, the lightning cord is powering the camera. But that's the thing is you're not going by a battery.
Right.
You don't want to do that. You want to take the card out.
Yep.
And card readers are cheap. Staples has them. Best Buy has them. They've all got them.
And they'll handle multiple different types of cards, from the little teeny tiny ones. I can't even think of the acronyms.
The micro SDs.
Yeah,
yes.
All the way up to the big monsters. So good. Good news. Glad to hear that. And we'll get those links up there for you. Let's go on to your calls. Greg in East Hartford is up next. Hey, Greg.
Hi.
What's up?
I have a lot of slides I've been wanting to convert to digital, and I've been looking at different units out there, and I'm figuring my budget's somewhere that 150-250 range. I've seen some units out there. For example, I heard good reviews of this Epson V550, but things I see is that it sounds like it was an older unit and doesn't indicate that it'll work with Windows 10. So are things like that a concern, or are there other units I should be looking at?
My Epson 550 works every day with my Windows 10 computer.
It's an older one, much older, right?
Yeah, but it works
every
– because I have that, and I have a Windows 10, and I use it. I also have Mac, and it works with both of them equally well.
Okay.
Now, if all you're doing is slides, I mean, there are some other dedicated slide scanning units that you can get relatively inexpensively. It just depends upon what your budget is. I scan for people, and most times what I do is I set the computer up, set the scanner up, and watch TV while I'm scanning. It's a long, monotonous process. Nikon had a really great scanner a few years ago that had an adapter you could put on. You could load 50 slides into it and just start scanning, and it would scan them. It would take them from one side, scan them, drop them into the other, and then you just replaced your slides, and you didn't have to think. You could do it while you were sleeping.
Hmm.
They don't that doesn't exist anymore, though.
Oh, geez. You gotta work the hardware.
Is it sending the information direct into the computer, and I see others that it sends to a chip or something?
I would be hesitant on the one sending it into a chip. You want it to go right into your computer.
Okay.
That's the best way, because you can just create a folder, drop them right into the folder, and you know where they are all the time. If something happens with your chip, you've lost all your scanning. You have to go back and start over again.
Yeah, okay. Awesome.
All right.
Great. Thank you.
You bet.
You're welcome, Greg.
Okay.
All right, guys. Feel free to get online. We still have four lines wide open, the Big Digital Camera Show. Do you want to bring something up?
Yeah, I do. That's something I want to bring up. He led into that really well.
Mm.
This generation, people who are taking pictures now, we're probably taking more pictures than anybody else. I mean,
right.
just throwing the selfies in there.
Oh, gosh.
Millions and millions and millions of pictures every day.
Right.
But people aren't printing them.
Right.
They're putting them online. They're putting them in the cloud. They're leaving them on their camera. They're leaving them on the cards.
They're not backing them up either.
They're not backing them up. So then when the camera dies, the card dies, the computer dies, the phone dies, those pictures are gone.
Yep.
We have a whole generation of pictures that are disappearing. And I actually read a really good editorial by this guy who says, you take a picture, but is it really a photograph? Because you have no tangible evidence that you took it. All you have is some digital representation on a screen.
Yeah.
You know, you go back to our parents, our grandparents, who had these huge albums that documented their life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always great to look at them. I don't know anybody in my age range that has, and I'm not young, not old, but I'm not young, who has a family album. I can't tell you the last time I looked at my wedding album, and my wife's not listening, so I can say that.
What? She's not listening?
No,
sounds like my wife. That's why I get away with it. I get away with
but
it, too.
People are not printing these pictures. And, I mean, there are a number of sources where you can get prints so cheap.
Right.
Down to, like, 9 cents, a 4x6.
Yeah.
You know, 10 prints for less than a buck.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes shipping.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have a whole generation that's disappearing photographically. And it's just, well, I remember when. Well, is there a picture? No. Then it didn't happen.
Right.
You know, but when I was a kid, I can go to my mom's photo album and I can see all the stupid stuff I did as a kid, which she has pictures of.
Right. Well, if you're a celebrity and you have a naked nudie on your iPhone, that we seem to have plenty of.
That everybody's got that now. But
the rest of our photos are not being preserved.
Absolutely.
You know, in our family, I'm one of the dinglings who takes our vacations and produces those Pro Show Gold shows. So everyone in my family will get a DVD, a Blu-ray of our pictures. And that could be 1,000 pictures, the whole show itself.
Yep.
So our albums are digital. But everything else, you're right. You have to make sure you download the cards to your computer. Then you have to make sure you back it up.
Right.
And some of these even photo sharing sites that supposedly allow you to have unlimited pictures up there are popping and going away.
Absolutely.
And they gave you the space for free. And all of a sudden they're saying, you know, this isn't quite working out. Get your stuff off of here before it goes bye-bye. And then it goes bye-bye.
Right. And going back to my iPhone, when I got my first iPhone, what was it? Apple gave 2 gigs of space
so
on
generous.
iCloud.
So generous.
I used that up really fast.
Right.
Now they want me to pay more money. And it's
right.
like, no.
Right.
No, I just download them onto my computer and make prints, do different things with them, back them up 5 different ways.
So, but to your point, though, if most of the folks out there who have already paid so much for the Apple device, they're all tapped out. They don't want to spend the extra money. They think their stuff is going up there, but they're not.
Right.
They're sitting on their phones.
Absolutely.
And they could lose those pictures really easily because they haven't decided to pay the blood money to the cloud. But you still got to back them up, guys. So you
Absolutely.
Can't have it both ways. You got to do something. Now, John is going to do it because you're a photography guy.
Yeah.
But so many of us up there are kind of lazy when it comes to this stuff. Download them, and then you got to back it up. How are you going to back up your data? Well, you got to back up your computer with multiple shots of ability to get it back. So you put your stuff on the hard drive. That thing's spinning at 7,200 RPMs. You know, it could crash tomorrow.
Absolutely.
You need a NAS device. And in my opinion, a family member with a second NAS device, who I still can't get that through committee, where you can offsite that to between NASs. That's the perfect backup. It doesn't cost you anything, just the initial cost of the NASs. And you have your instant cloud with your family member. So as long as the family relationship is good, you've got your free cloud. So we can talk more about that as well. We're here till 11 o'clock. We've got John Ryan in studio. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. 4 lines wide open. The Big Digital Camera Show. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.